Alright, welcome back. This is your Mike Malloy Show. I am your Mike Malloy Show guest host, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, and indeed now a fictional character in Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, really cool political thriller. Go check it out. We've got the link at bradblog.com, or you can go to Imagine Politique. That's P-O-L-I-T-I-K. ImaginePolitique.net, and buy yourself a good summer read by Richard Averitt. Even though I'm in it, it's still a good summer read, and it's all fiction. At least I only pray that the book remains fiction, given what's in it. This is your hour to get into the show, if you'd like. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And like I said last week, last Friday, all the right-wingers called, you know, with about 2 minutes left. And we didn't get to enjoy their comments. I would, of course, love to hear from you if you'd like to call and tell me how George W. Bush did find WMD in Iraq. It turns out that they were pieces of tubes. That's what the caller told us. And the other right-winger who didn't get in, unfortunately, because there was he just called right at the end of the show, had earlier said that, Barack Obama had invited a guy to the White House who called for the killing of cops. It seems there's some misunderstanding. It seems there's some misinformation floating around out there and across our public airwaves. So we're trying to do something about it right here on the Mike Malloy Show, 877-520-1150. I started this show with a thank you to, speaking of right-wingers, to Sheila Brooks, who was having a conversation with Pulitzer Prize winner Danny Concannon over on Twitter, where you can follow us. We are The Brad Blog over there. He was saying that it looks like Clarence Thomas's crimes are indeed fairly serious, as we have documented them over at Brad Blog, where he lied on 20 years of disclosure forms. I've been trying to make a point that with all of the ethics issues that are coming up with him and the conflicts of interest, well, those are fine and well and good and frankly horrible, but they're up to him. There is nobody who really oversees the Supreme Court in that sense. Unlike all of the other federal judges, there is no body that makes sure that the Supreme Court follows the federal ethics rules that all of the other federal judges have to. So this comes down to him and what he decides he wants to do. And, of course, he's going to do whatever he wants because these right-wingers live in a world of their own where they love to call themselves conservative, but they have no interest in, you know, the rule of law, the Constitution. They just say they do. So where can they be held accountable? Well, the House of Representatives can impeach Justice Clarence Thomas. But that seems unlikely, seeing as how we've got Republicans now in charge of the House. It also seems unlikely, even if Democrats get into power, because Democrats just don't do that. They are wusses. They apparently don't believe in accountability either. So impeachment seems unlikely. How about criminal charges? How about the DOJ doing their job? How about an investigation of these years in which Clarence Thomas lied, falsified, I will argue knowingly falsified, his financial disclosure forms, leaving out $700,000 that his wife received from the Heritage Foundation. That's a crime. That is a crime. And this is what Danny Concannon was talking about on the Twitters when Sheila Brooks said, fairly serious. It looks like a nut job blogger who's launching personal attacks against those with whom he disagrees. That was Sheila Brooks talking about me. Danny responded, it looks like he knowingly falsified records, Sheila. Plenty of politicians have indeed done far worse and escaped consequences. Sheila wrote back to him, zero evidence of that. It looks like you're making this crap up because he's conservative. Is this how you won a Pulitzer? Danny wrote back and said, I'm not making anything up. The evidence was submitted by Thomas himself, year after year. Sheila wrote back and said, there is no evidence. No evidence whatsoever to back up your allegation that a Supreme Court justice broke the law. And Danny wrote back to her to say, so you're saying those disclosure forms are actually falsified? Well, actually, they are falsified, but they were falsified by Clarence Thomas, not by me. She responded, no, what I'm saying is there is no evidence whatsoever that he broke the law. And now in all caps, read what I write. That's what I mean. Well, it goes on and on like this. You know what? You want the evidence? We got it over at bradblog.com. It's easy to find. And by the way, yeah, don't believe me. Go check it out for yourself. Danny even goes on to say that, you know, Bradblog is swell, but no one source, I missed the part where Sheila called me a moron. I'm not responding to that post, because Danny asked, what component of the argument in that post are you denying the validity of? And Sheila says, I'm not responding to that post. I don't respond to things written at bradsblog.com, because I'm not a moron. Danny writes back, so your counter-argument amounts to,
la, 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 I can't hear you.
Got it. Okay. Anyway, yeah, don't believe me. Go look at the evidence yourself. He just lied. He withheld the information. Then he said, oh, I didn't understand it. You can look at the forms yourself. They are the simplest forms in the world. And if Justice Thomas did not understand those forms, I mean, they're really simple, then he don't deserve to be a Supreme Court justice, which, by the way, he don't deserve to be a Supreme Court justice. So do something about it. Call on the DOJ to take some action. You can do that over at protectourelections.org. I think there's a petition that goes to the DOJ asking them to investigate, demanding they investigate, because I'll tell you what, as long as we don't investigate, as long as we allow this Supreme Court to stay, you know, as it is, we know what's going to happen here. We know the cases that Walmart is going to say, well, we got a friendly Supreme Court. I'm going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And even though there's about a million women who are charging Walmart with sexual discrimination, we know we got friends at the Supreme Court. We got nothing to worry about. And then they're going to pay, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to sell their line of BS over the corporate-controlled public airwaves and make people like Sheila believe that they're telling the truth. Because people like Sheila Brooks over on Twitter simply don't get the information. They are not told the truth. 98% of talk radio on our public airwaves is right-wing talk radio. Sheila probably believes everything she's saying, even though she is unbelievably misinformed about everything that she's saying. She probably believes it, because this is the crap that folks like that are told on our public airwaves. And they've got a Supreme Court to back them up, and they've got all the money in the world to back them up, because Walmart is apparently a person, and so if you disagree with them, you too can put your own money into a campaign to show how Walmart is a liar. You can probably do that. You can take a couple of $1,000, whatever you might be able to free up somehow, if you have any money, if you still have a job, and you can go out and make your case. And then Walmart, since they're a person, they get to make theirs, too, over the public airwaves and spend their millions and millions and millions of dollars in profit to counter you and to support their politicians that are going to support them and attack the politicians that are going to attack them. Because, as Clarence Thomas decided, Walmart is people. Like Soylent Green. Walmart is a person. And that's what we're heading into in 2012. And this corporatocracy is winning, and we, the people, are losing. And that includes we the people, we the Tea Party people, we the Tea Party people who have been tricked into believing that the people that are supporting them believe in the Constitution and that they believe in we the people. Guess what, Tea Party people? Those folks are not your friends. Those corporations who are scamming you are not your friends. Do you believe in the Constitution? Do you believe in we the people? Well, then join we the people. Because we are fighting for you, you people. We are fighting for the citizens of this country. We are fighting for the working man. We are fighting for the middle class. Not for the corporations who have taken your money, your job, shipped them overseas, taken their profits, hung on to it while you're fighting and dying, while they're cutting your services, while they're cutting the things that you believe in. Pay attention, people. You're being scammed. Your calls when we come back. 877-520-1150. We the people. Brad in from Molloy. We got your cure for the summertime blues right here. Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy. All right, I promise. Your calls, 877-520-1150. Don't wait till the end. Anything you want to talk about, these are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them more than you already have. Oh, and while we're there, stop on by the bradblog.com chat room. A lot of cool folks there. All right, where are we here? Let's go to Stephen in Burbank. Oh, Stephen, he might as well be outside the window yelling up. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, what it is that as we converse with each other, it's my hope and dream so that the right-wingers who are listening might begin to be a little bit enlightened. You know, what the real power is, it's the moneyed elite. And everywhere I go, it's saying government, 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 yep. This, government, that. The government is nothing but a bluff. It's there's little drawings on it, you know, like where the thumb is, there's an eye, you know, and where the forefinger, you know, it's a sock puppet. It's a glove. You pull that off and stomp on the ground, and the moneyed elite are going to be laughing their asses off.
Of course they are, Stephen. The government, you know, is we the people. And this notion that the government is the enemy is just so silly, is so stupid, is so ridiculous. But, you know, it's the people who are, you know, saying the government is the enemy, they know what they're doing. They know who it is they're supporting, and it ain't we the people. We are the government. You don't like it? Change it. You don't destroy it. You change it. And, man, I'd love to hear some right-winger calling in and right-wingers, call in and tell me what it is, the government service that you enjoy right now that you would like to do away with. What is it? You want to give up your Medicare? You don't want it? You want to not have the fire services, fire department? You want to shut down the roads? You want to pay for those toll roads? Give me a call. 877-520-1150. Thanks for the call, Stephen. I appreciate it. Let's go to Mitch, Sycamore, Illinois. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Molloy Show. What's on your mind, Mitch?
Mention a few things about a few of the nuclear plants that are having a little problem around the world.
Oh, yeah, just a few of them. Like, of course, we all know about but some of us know about Fukushima. But there's also some problems in Nebraska where the floodwaters of the Mississippi are rising on two nuclear plants there. Are those the two of them you wanted to talk about, Mitch?
Well, and the third one in Manju in Japan.
Oh, really?
But there's the ones that are in Missouri. The southernmost one at 7:40 Central Time tonight,
yeah.
The levees topped. And
You don't mean Missouri. You actually mean in Nebraska, correct? On the Missouri River.
On the Missouri River, yes.
Yeah, Fort Calhoun, I think.
No, Fort Calhoun is the northern one. The southern one is the one that has had the levees top near it.
Right.
At this time, they're still running. I mean, that's the way it looks like it's still running.
Mm-hmm.
But the dikes around the building itself are still holding, but the river around it, it's flooded a facility north of it that has it's for training firemen,
mm-hmm.
and it's full of fuel. So now the river is full of fuel.
Full of oil fuel, not nuclear fuel. Well, is there a threat, Mitch? I know that I saw a photo of, I think it was Fort Calhoun, where literally the water is all the way around this nuclear plant. It's like an island that they're holding off from the encroaching river that is threatening the diesel generators, so that we could have a situation, frankly, like Fukushima if we lose power to the grid.
The generators aren't such a problem in this case because the one was down for maintenance. They were actually Calhoun was being shut down for refuel.
Right.
But it's actually the worst time to have a flood.
Right.
When those rods come out, they're hot.
Right.
The nuclear reaction does not exactly stop immediately. The large scale chain event stops, but the decay in those rods is going to go on for centuries. They need to be cooled for centuries. In fact, I'm not sure exactly how long they have to be on before they have to stop cooling them. Yeah. They'll have to be actively cooled for quite some time.
Hey, Mitch, hang on a sec. I got to get to a break. Hang on. We'll come back to you, Mitch. And your call is 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Get in now. Damn near your last chance. You're listening to Brad in from Molloy. Stay with us. After the hour, Brad in for Mike Molloy. Glad you could join us here as we're coming up to the home stretch tonight. 877-520-1150 if you want to get in. I wanted to finish real quickly with Mitch out there in Illinois. He is a former nuclear engineer. Hey, Mitch.
I'm a manufacturing engineer. Oh. I've worked with nuclear fuel.
Ah, okay.
My field is more out of the power range.
Well, thanks for that correction. Thanks for that correction. So once again, I'm going to have to fire Desi because that's what she wrote on the call screener. So, Mitch, so do we have a concern, though, very quickly, the water is rising at these nuclear plants in Nebraska? You said that one of them was offline, so not to be worried. But you know what? Unit 4 out at Fukushima Daiichi is also offline. It seems to me that if those diesel generators are flooded and then there's, like, let's say, a storm that knocks out power, aren't we in trouble because the cooling systems are gone?
Or a dam break.
Or is there...
A dam break of 3 feet would be a problem. But I did want to mention Manju in Japan, which
okay.
is much worse than Fukushima.
Oh, really?
Manju is a breeder reactor. It is not a water reactor like what's in Omaha or in Fukushima. A breeder reactor is surrounded by liquid sodium as a cooling medium.
Uh-huh.
You cannot pour water onto liquid sodium without a massive explosion.
And what's wrong currently with Manju? What's the problem there?
Last August in Manju, they dropped a 6,000-pound piece of equipment into the control rods, and it's jammed in there. They can't move the control rods. They can't pull it out. They don't know what to do. They can't get in there because of the liquid sodium. It has to be sealed up, and it's sealed in argon to keep the sodium. It touches air, it's gonna go.
I'm gonna check that out, Mitch. Manju in Japan.
Thanks. Monju.
Thanks for that really good news, Mitch. you've made my night, brother. I got to run.
The Japanese are being told, if you're happy, the radiation won't get you. If the kids go outside and play, wear long sleeve shirts.
You know, if we had a democracy in this country the way they do in Germany, where they're canceling all, shutting down all nukes by 2022, or in Italy, where they just voted 95-5 against any further development of nukes, if we had a democracy in this country, we would get to do the same thing. Yeah.
But we have to keep vigilant on cooling that stuff for the rest of the millennia.
Even if we shut them down. You're absolutely right.
Even if we shut them down.
Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate it. Thanks, brother. Well, I guess thanks for the great news. Have a great night, Mitch. All right, let me get to, Eileen in West Virginia. Hey, Eileen, welcome to the Molloy Show. What's on your mind?
I just want to say thank you, Brad, for everything you're doing. You're doing a great job, and you're extremely intelligent, and I love you.
Oh, God bless you. I appreciate that.
It's amazing because I'm a Luddite, and I just recently turned on to digital radio, and awesome. I found you and Michael and my left wing station.
Spread the word, Eileen, because everybody else, you get to hear the right wingers for free coast to coast on our public airwaves, but you really have to go hunting for progressives either online or if you're lucky enough to live in a town with a progressive radio station.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eileen. Appreciate the call.
Good night.
877-520-1150. It's your last chance. Get in now. Bill from Los Angeles, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show. Bill, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Brad. I just want to say you and Desi do a fine job of protecting what's left of democracy in this country, and I wish you guys had a radio show. Regular radio show.
You're very kind.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, first off, I read the report. I read the Mediaite article with Tommy Christopher.
Yeah.
And I just the only thing that comes to mind is, you know, Monica Lewinsky.
What do you expound on that? What do you mean?
I think the report, I think Tommy's article was very, 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 very overly generous and fawning. But enough about that. Let me tell you this.
Well, just people know, that was in the last hour, this article where Tommy Christopher, our guest in the previous hour, had actually in the first hour, first and second hour, where he seemed to support Breitbart, and then he ended up getting scammed, not by Breitbart, but by these fictional characters. And, yeah, you know what? Go get a subscription to the Mike Molloy Show podcast so you can listen to the archives later, or stop by bradblog.com where we'll have the entire show late night tonight. Okay, Bill, continue.
Well, let me comment. Okay, final comment. I appreciate the fact that you didn't jump into the media circus with Congressman Wiener and blah, 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 blah. However, your take on it is good, but I disagree slightly.
Okay.
I think that Wiener should not have resigned.
Right.
I think he should have, since he's going to become persona non grata and probably be districted out of existence anyway, I think he should have spent the rest of this term talking about five subjects, not about his scandal or the fact that he's a putz and did something stupid. But he should talk about Justice Thomas, Senator Vitter, the jobs that the Republicans promised us, and how he and what he can do for his constituency, and not talk about anything else at all for the rest of the next 2 years, and just because, as you pointed out, the Democratic leadership, even though I voted for these cowards, regretfully, the Democratic leadership are a bunch of cowards.
Yeah.
And they would never talk about something as controversial as the crimes of Justice Thomas, but Congressman Wiener could have.
Well, Wiener was doing that, Bill. He actually set up a website called Conflicted. I think it was ConflictedThomas or ConflictedClarence.com.
I saw that.
And that's actually what he was in the middle of doing when this phony scandal hit. He was taking on Clarence Thomas.
He didn't have to stop. He did not have to resign. He could have switched parties to Republican, but he didn't have to resign, and he did not have to let anything derail his investigation of the crimes of Justice Thomas.
I agree, and I don't know what went on, you know, behind closed doors, and what it was his wife wanted him to do, what it was that the Democrats threatened him with, taking away his committee seats.
He lost it. He had nothing to lose, except all he had to do was be best congressman for his district, and those people would probably elect him the next mayor of New York City.
No, he should have said,
as far as the Democratic caucus, he had nothing left to lose,
of course.
And he should have gone with that.
Well, of course, I agree. And, of course, what he could have said was, I will resign along with David Vitter and Clarence Thomas when they resign, because they actually committed crimes, unlike me, who committed none. Yeah, he's a schmuck. And but that is perfectly legal. So there you go. Hey, Bill, I appreciate the call, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys do a fantastic job.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, Bill. Okay, 877-520-1150. We got some open lines if you want to get in now. Where are all those right-wingers? I always, you know, well, you'll see. They'll call at the end, and then they'll tell me that we found WMD in Iraq, and somehow, I don't know, 877-520-1150. Because you know what? I reach out. I am nothing if not a uniter rather than a divider. We had a Republican presidential candidate on here last week. Fred Karger was on here. Had the Tommy Christopher, who, though not necessarily a right-winger himself, works at Mediaite, which is a pretty right-wing website as I see it. Because you know what? We need to, I know Mike hates Republicans. He just hates them, and I can understand. I don't hate them. I'm just looking for the sane ones out there. Are there any left? Well, Fred Karger came by last week. He was in studio for an hour. He was pretty sane, actually. And he's the one who filed a complaint against Mitt Romney for voter fraud. And for all you folks listening up there in New Hampshire, you got the primary coming up there. There's no Democratic primary. If you're an independent, if you're registered as an independent or a Republican, you can vote in the Republican primary. You don't have to vote in the Democratic primary. Vote in the Republican primary. Fred Karger is running in the Republican primary. Send Mitt a message. Get more information on Fred Karger. Not that I'm endorsing. I don't endorse anybody. FredKarger.com. 877-520-1150. Barrett in Atlanta. There we go. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Barrett. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Brett, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, you know, I think we should send this Clarence Thomas story, serve it up on a silver platter, and send it straight to Breitbart. I mean, he's doctored the Shirley Sherrod thing and everything. This is something, and just see where he goes from there.
Well, he knows about it. He knows it's sitting right there. He reads the Bradley. He's come by and he comments every now and again. He knows it's there. We got the evidence. He's out there pretending that he's a watchdog, you know, that he gives a damn about the watchdog, the rule of law, the Constitution. He doesn't give a damn about that. He gives a damn about Republicans and supporting Republicans. And the same with James O'Keefe, who, you know, says, oh, I want to get at the truth. No, you don't. You want to get at Democrats. You want to try to hurt Democrats somehow. How stupid. You know, if you want to fight for truth, justice, and the American way, do it. If you want to take down Democrats who break the law, do it. Do it. But, you know, the crap that they, you know, where they make stuff up, where they make up stuff, where they have to edit their videotapes to make it look like somebody committed a crime. Man, what a bunch of losers. So, yeah, Breitbart knows where the Clarence Thomas information is. He knows where the documents are. And, yes, if he turned his considerable skills towards telling the truth instead of lying, well, you know, Clarence Thomas would be gone in a week. Because, you know, if Breitbart's against you, you got to resign. Thanks, Barrett. I appreciate the call. Did any other thoughts you had there before I let you go?
Yeah, you know, the only official response I've heard is from the Malloy Show where Thomas was stated, quote, it was an omission. And I love Vintage Mike Malloy. He says, no, Clarence, Uncle Thomas, an omission is when you forget to add a spicy grandma's spaghetti recipe. What you did is call a goddamn lie.
Well, Mike's got it absolutely right, as usual. Thanks, Barrett. It was a goddamn lie, and he did it year after year after year on his financial disclosure forms. And who's doing a damn thing about it?
Nobody.
We will. you know, we will. We're calling for accountability. Go over to protectourelections.org. Call for accountability. Call the DOJ. Say, where's the goddamn investigation of Clarence Thomas breaking the law? Or are you allowed to break the law? Are you allowed to break the law if you're a member of the Supreme Court? Is that that whole, you know, if the president does it, it's not illegal? Is that the same thing true about the Supreme Court? Apparently. Man, just, you know, accountability. That's all I'm asking. 877-520-1150. We're back tomorrow night for one more night, and then Mike and Kathy will return on Wednesday. Rest easy. Tomorrow, what are we doing tomorrow? For one thing, I'm finally going to carve out some time to talk about what the hell happened in Wisconsin in that election. Since we were last on the air, unbelievable story, and it matters because we got more elections coming up in Wisconsin. And if you guys don't know about it, if you're not going to be out there fighting to make sure it stays clean and overseeable this time, I suspect we're going to have the same mess we had last time. Brad in for Malloy, 877-520-1150. We will be right back. Thanks tonight to Tony Sorrentino, our great engineer out here at K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. T-Sor, as we call him. Also to producer, screener, chat room babe, Desi Doyen, who we need to hear from her. Hopefully she'll. Hopefully we'll bring her on the air tomorrow before we're all said and done and we disappear like Brigadoon into the night after tomorrow night's show. My thanks also to Dale and Jeannie Dean over in the bradblog.com chat room for keeping it smart and orderly, as they are wont to do. Also, my guests tonight, Tommy Christopher of Mediaite.com and Richard Averett, author of Imagine Politique, imaginepolitique.net. I think Bob Kincaid must be back from Netroots Nation by now. So if you're listening via MikeMalloy.com tonight, stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid after this program. And my thanks, of course, as always, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to stink up their show. So thank you very much, Mike and Kathy. Hope you're enjoying yourself. You'll be back soon. David in St. Paul. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, David.
Hey, Brad. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, another question for these right-wingers that want to call in is, how would these voter suppression laws that they're passing all over the country, you know, not letting students vote, making
yep.
photo IDs, you know, on the same day registration, dropping that or vouching for people,
yep.
How would those laws stop the vote integrity the way that it was done and they just got prosecuted in I think it was Maryland, two GOP officials.
Right. Yeah. No. It wouldn't stop any of that. And that's the thing. There's almost no voter fraud that is actually carried out at the polling places by people saying they are who they aren't, and they know that. And in state after state where they're instituting these voter suppression laws, the supporters are always asked, well, what examples, of this voter fraud have we had in this state? And they all go,
we don't know of any, but it might happen.
And so, we have a case right now with the GOP officials getting busted.
Where the actual GOP, of course. I mean, you know, the GOP officials in Maryland who were who were sending out robocalls to black areas saying, hey, don't worry, no need to vote. We won, everything's fine, so don't bother coming in, we won.
And,
and they have been indicted on election fraud charges.
Yep.
And as they were, by the way, in Kentucky, where 156 years they're serving because the election officials were buying and selling votes and changing votes on electronic voting machines. None of that had to do with anything that would be stopped by photo ID. Photo ID restrictions at the polling place, and pay attention, media and Democrats, these are not voter ID issues. These are photo ID restrictions on voters, 20 million of them who don't have the type of ID that would be needed to cast their vote in 2012.
And yeah. You know, Brad, I can attest to, you know, the importance of it. I monitored the elections, you know, for the Franken and Coleman campaign, and that was decided by 327 votes.
Yep. And had they had photo ID laws that would have kept people away, it would have been a different story. Absolutely.
Yep.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks. Stay vigilant out there, David. Really appreciate your call and up there in St. Paul. Let me see. Do we have time? Let me real quickly. Norma in Oakland, California. I only have a few seconds. I'm sorry. What's on your mind, Norma, very quickly?
I was going to say that Abe Forta, a Supreme Court justice, did exactly the same thing that Clarence Thomas, and they hounded him out. But he was a Democrat.
Yep.
So isn't anybody mentioning that?
Well, we mentioned it. I actually mentioned it earlier in the show. You're absolutely right. Not only did he do what Clarence Thomas did, Thomas did was much, much, much worse than anything Abe Fortas ever did, as far as I could tell. And, the crimes add to it, the ethical conflicts and the gifts. The crimes that Clarence Thomas committed start hounding him. Norma, I appreciate
not
the call.
Committed. Wait, not committed. Is committing right now.
Is committing right now. You're absolutely right, Norma. Hey, thanks. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate all of you folks out there. We will be back for one more night tomorrow. Until then, you can catch me, Brad Friedman, at bradblog.com. Thanks, America. We'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit.